Good morning and welcome to week four of the concluding week of our series entitled, How Sweet the Sound. This morning we're going to deal with a very, very familiar hymn to most people, even if you haven't grown up in church, but you've been to a funeral, you likely have heard this hymn, and it's It Is Well With My Soul. This is a hymn that is wrought with pain and suffering, loss, injustice. It's a hymn that helps us to connect with some of that. And that's why it's often used at a funeral. But it's also a hymn that is written to bring peace to us in the midst of the storms of life, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of, again, loss, pain, suffering. And in its essence, it is a song of victory. You might not catch that right away, but it is a song of victory. And when we get to it, and I'll actually read the song to you for those of you who don't know it, but I want to give you a little background about the writer of It Is Well With My Soul. Now, the writer lived in the 1800s, kind of 1820-something to the late 1880s. And his name was Horatio Spatafort. Now, this man was a very successful lawyer and a partner in a law firm. He had five children, one son, four girls, and he had a wife, her name was Anna. Now, for all his success, Horatio's world came crashing down in around the early 1870s, I believe, if I remember the story correctly. And it starts out with Horatio's son dying of pneumonia. I think 2 weeks ago when I talked about, we had a death from pneumonia with the writer of the song I was singing, I just lost my train of thought. But his second wife second fiance died of pneumonia. So I'm not sure in those days, I guess pneumonia was a lot worse for a lot of people than it is today, even though today it can still do a great deal of damage. But his son dies of pneumonia. And then a year later, the Great Chicago Fires take place, or the Great Chicago Fire. And in that fire, Horatio lost all of his real estate holdings. He was a rich man, he was a successful man, and now he loses all his real estate, all his wealth, pretty much, in this great fire in Chicago. And if that weren't bad enough, 2 years later, through the struggle, Horatio and Anna decide that they're going to take a vacation. Just get away from it all. They're going to take their daughters and they're going to go on a European vacation. Just kind of decompress. You know, we've lost our real estate. We've lost our son. So they plan this trip to Europe, but just before they're about to leave, Horatio has an urgent matter come up with his law firm, with his business, and he has to stay in Chicago. So he talks to Anna and he says, listen, you and the girls go, you guys head over to Europe and I'll get on the next boat and catch up with you in a couple of days. Well, they do that, and as it turns out, Anna and the girls are heading over to Europe and their boat strikes another boat and sinks. In this whole thing, Anna survives by grabbing onto some wreckage and she gets picked up later, but the four daughters all perish. They all drown. Anna, when she gets picked up, she gets taken to Cardiff Wells, which is in England, where she sends a telegram to Horatio explaining to him what's happening. Horatio quickly gets packed up and gets on the next ship to Cardiff Wells. On the way to Cardiff Wells, the captain of the ship actually calls Horatio, because he knows what's happened, and calls him to the bow of the ship. And there he tells him, this is the place where your daughters drown. I'm not sure about that, whether if that was me, I'd want the captain calling me and telling me that. Maybe Horatio had asked for that. We don't really know. But he's put in that place where he's on the bow of a ship finding out, this is where my daughters died. I can't imagine the pain. I can't imagine what this man's going through. This man seems to have the life of Job. And yet, it's right there in that same vicinity where Horatio writes the song, or the lyrics to the song, "It is well with my soul." I can't personally imagine that. I'm going to go sit down and write now. But that's what he did. Horatio goes on to have three more children, another of whom dies, and he goes bankrupt in his life. And so he did not have an easy life. And yet, this man wrote the song, "It is well with my soul." Now let's look at the lyrics for a minute. For those of you who don't know it, the song begins, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Verse 2, "Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and shed his own blood for my soul." Verse 3, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul." Of course, the chorus of that song is, "It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul." Again, out of Horatio's grief, he writes this wonderful hymn, which actually is a hymn of victory. What he's saying is, in the midst of everything I'm going through, it is still well with my soul. And as Christians, as believers, no matter what we're going through, we can have that same attitude, that same assurance. It is well with my soul. Now, I want to start by saying, in suffering, in loss, in pain, in grief, when our life is in turmoil based on circumstances, it's natural to feel lost. It's natural to feel overwhelmed. It's natural to wonder where God is. Even Jesus himself on the cross felt this. The humanity of Jesus as he hung there on the cross, he cries out. And we'll get into what he cries out. I want to flip my pages. But he cries out in that moment, wondering, "Where are you, God?" He cries out to his Father, "Where are you?" It's recorded in Matthew chapter 27 in verse 45 and 46. And it says this, "At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a long voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani.'" Wow, that's a mouthful, but I think I got it right. "Which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" You see, Jesus in that moment on the cross, as he's experiencing for the first time the weight of the world's sin. See, Jesus was sinless and now he's taking on all our sin. All the world's sin from the past, the present, and the future. And he feels that. And he feels that disconnect from his Father. You see, Jesus walked as one with the Father his whole time on earth. And now as he hangs on the cross, he feels that suffering, that pain of disconnect with the Father. It says in the hymn, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." As Jesus felt this, he felt it on our behalf. You see, what I get out of this is we can understand that God is with us, or God is with you. Let me be more specific. God is with you in the middle of your storm. How is he with you? Jesus went to the cross. Jesus died in your place, my place. Jesus paid the price that we can become one with God, that we can come back into relationship with God. And in that, we can understand that Jesus is with us. In fact, John 14, verse 15 to 17 says, "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives in you, or because he lives with you now and later will be in you." You see, when Jesus died on that cross and we accepted his death and his forgiveness of sins, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. So no matter what your storm is, no matter what your circumstances are, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And he's not going anywhere. In the middle of your storm, God is with you. Excuse me. God is with you in the middle of your storm. We need to remember that every day. As we go through the storms of life, we need to remember that God is with us. We also need to know that God is working in the middle of your storm. You need to understand, and I need to understand, that God is working in the middle of your storm. You see, there's a story in the scripture from Matthew chapter 8, if you want to go read it yourself later, where Jesus and the disciples are in a boat together and they're crossing the sea and they're heading there and a big storm comes up. And Jesus is quite calm. He's asleep in the back of the boat. And the disciples are freaking out. Like I probably would be too. You might be as well. I don't think I'd want to be on a stormy sea. I've seen way too many movies about it and or movies that it happens in. And I don't think I'd want to be there with the waves crashing. And Jesus, the disciples go and wake Jesus up. And he basically says, and this is my paraphrase, "What are you worrying about? I'm here. I'm with you. Why are you worrying?" And he calms the storm. You see, Jesus is with us in the middle of our storm. Psalm 46, verse 1 to 3 says this, "God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when the earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge." As the waters surge. God is with you in the middle of everything we can go through in life. And finally, I want us to understand today that God is going to bring you through your storm. God is faithful, and he brings us through the storms of life. God will never give us more than he gives us strength to handle. The hymn says this, "Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and shed his own blood for my soul." No matter what Satan brings against you, no matter what this world brings against you, Christ will bring you through. Our God will bring us through. I love that last line there, that Christ shed his own blood for our soul. With the shedding of his blood, we're brought victory. We're brought victory over anything this world or our enemy can throw at us. That amazes me. That encourages me. And I want that to encourage you today. Because many of us during this time of pandemic and in some cases lack of work, in some cases just not knowing. I know for me personally, that's the biggest stress of everything that's going on is, when is this going to be over? When are we going to be able to do this? When? And getting things for me in two-week announcements drives me crazy. I want to hear, okay, as of this date, this will be done. As of this date, we will be able to do this. I'm not one that deals well with not being sure of things. On top of that, I've dealt with a number of those things within my son's football and recruiting process and all of that. So all that unsurety for me personally is just kind of stressing and pushing on me. And that's when I have to remember, God will bring me through. God's not going to give me something to deal with that he's not going to strengthen me to deal with. Exodus chapter 15, verse 2 says this, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him." Now you have to understand, this is written right after the children of Israel have gone through the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his armies were destroyed behind them. We need to understand we have that same victory, that God will come through for us, no matter how we see it with our own physical eyes and in the moment. Romans 8:28, again, I use this scripture all the time because it is probably my favorite of all scriptures, says this, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them." Remember today, God is with you in the middle of the storm. God is working in the middle of your storm, and God will bring you through your storm. Now, maybe you're sitting there today watching or wherever you're watching this and you say, "But I don't know this God you're talking about, Pastor Paul." It's very simple. Jesus came and died for your sins. We already talked about that a little bit. He died to bring you forgiveness. He died to bring you into a place where you can come back into a relationship with God or come into a relationship with God. And it's so simple. All you have to do is accept that in your heart. Pray a simple prayer. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to come live in you. Ask God to be your strength in living your life for him. It's that simple. If that's you today and you've chosen to do that in your heart, we'd ask you to just pull out your phone and send us a quick, simple text to the church phone number at 416-267-1189. We want to walk through this with you. All you need to do is text the word love, and somebody will get back to you and will help you through this journey. And it's that simple. For those of us who are believers today, and that would include you who have just accepted Christ, understand today, no matter what your storm is, God is with you, God is working, and God will bring you through, to shorten my points down. My question to you today is it well with your soul? If not, take your griefs, take your pain, take your suffering, and lay them down at God's feet. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you again next week. God bless.